papal message from His Holiness Pope Shenouda III, Pope of Alexandria and Patriarch of the See of St. Mark. My brethren and children in the lands of immigration, clergy, and laity, peace to you from the Lord and grace, with my greetings to you during the glorious Feast of Nativity, wishing you in these occasions a new holy life that is better than what it was in the previous year. I wish to say to you that the birth of Christ was an annunciation of salvation. As the angel said to the shepherds, I bring you good tidings of great joy, for there is born to you this day a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Therefore in his birth his name was called Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. This salvation was promised by the Lord since the beginning of creation, when God promised our mother Eve that her offspring will crush the head of the serpent, that is Satan. This matter was to be fulfilled through the redemption. People needed to be prepared to accept the thought of redemption. This needed time and passed through stages. The first matter was the sin, was that sin revealed to man his nakedness. For God to cover this nakedness, he saw that the fig leaves were insufficient. So he made for them tunics of skin and clothed them with these. Of course, these tunics of skin were a result of a sacrifice. Thus man knew that sin causes nakedness and that sacrifice results in covering. After this, people learnt about the offering of sacrifices, and the first sacrifice was the one offered by Abel from the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. Sacrifices and offerings continued to be presented, and they were for God alone, consumed by fire as a sign of pleasing God's heart. They learned to offer the Passover, and by the sprinkling of its blood on their doors, they were saved from death, according to the saying of the Lord, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. The Passover was a symbol of the transfer from death to life, as it also symbolizes the Lord Christ, according to the writings of Paul the Apostle. Through the Passover, they knew the meaning of redemption, that is, the innocent dies for the guilty. Then the offerings were explained to them in the book of Leviticus. So they used to place their hands upon the sacrifice to indicate that this sacrifice is on their behalf and confess their sins over its head to indicate that the sacrifice carries these sins for them. The summarized concept of the offering was that an innocent being without sin carries the sin of the guilty one and dies instead of them. And this is the redemption. Many generations passed, and this concept was fixed in their minds, that the Redeemer would die for them carrying their sins. They understood that he must be a man, for the judgment of death that we inherited was issued against man. What was left was the preparation of the pure virgin from whom the Redeemer was to be born, according to the prophecy of Isaiah. It was necessary that she is a humble person, able to bear this glory that God is born from her, without her heart being elevated. It was also to prepare that righteous elderly man who would protect and look after the Virgin Mary and to live with her as a virgin whose pregnancy was from the Holy Spirit. Then it was a must to prepare the angel who will prepare the way before the Redeemer by returning people to repentance and preparing them by baptism. Then to prepare the apostles who will spread the faith in the Redeemer. Then it was necessary to set up at the time that all these preparations would be fulfilled together. That is what the apostle called the fullness of time. Then it was necessary that a universal language be widespread by which evangelism can be fulfilled in all parts of the lands. This was the Greek language to which the Old Testament was translated in the Septuagint. Thus the fullness of time came in which the Lord Christ was incarnate from the Virgin Mary and the Holy Spirit. He was crucified for us, carrying our sins, died for us, and resurrected. May the Feast of Nativity be joyous, a blessing and a renewal of life to all. Be well in the Lord, absolved from His Holy Spirit, signed His Holiness Pope Shenouda III.
الرسالة البابوية لقداسة البابا الأنبا شنودة الثالث أعطاه الله الصحة وأدام حياته. إخوتي وأبنائي في المهجر إكليروسا وشعبا، سلام لكم من الرب ونعمة، مع تهنئتي لكم بعيد الميلاد المجيد، راجيا لكم في هاتين المناسبتين حياة روحية جديدة تكون أفضل مما كانت في العام الماضي. وأحب أن أقول لكم أن ميلاد المسيح كان بشيرا بالخلاص، كما قال الملاك للرعاة: ها أنا أبشركم بفرح عظيم يكون لكم اليوم مخلص هو المسيح الرب. وهكذا في ميلاده دعي اسمه يسوع، لأنه يخلص شعبه من خطاياهم. وهذا الخلاص وعد به الرب منذ بدء الخليقة حينما وعد الله أمنا حواء بأن نسلها سوف يسحق رأس الحية أي الشيطان، وكان هذا الأمر سوف يتم بالفداء، ولا بد من إعداد الناس لقبول فكرة الفداء، وقد احتاج ذلك إلى وقت ومر بخطوات. أول الأمر هو أن الخطية كشفت للإنسان عريه، ولكي يستر الله هذا العري رأى أن أوراق التين لا تكفي، فصنع لها أقمصة من جلد وألبسهما، وطبعا هذا الجلد نتج عن ذبيحة، وهكذا عرف الإنسان أن الخطية تسبب العري والذبيحة نتيجتها الستر. بعد ذلك تعلم الناس تقديم الذبائح، وكانت أول ذبيحة هي التي قدمها هابيل من أبقار غنمه ومن سمانها، وتوالى تقديم الذبائح والمحرقات، وكانت المحرقات هي لله وحده تأكلها النار رمزا لإرضاء قلب الله. تعلموا تقديم الفصح الذي برش دمه على أبواب نجوا من الموت كقول الرب حين أرى الدم أعبر عنكم، وكان الفصح يرمز إلى العبور من الموت إلى الحياة كما يرمز إلى السيد المسيح حسب قول بولس الرسول. ومن الفصح عرفوا معنى الفداء وهو بريء يموت عن مذنب. ثم شرحت لهم تفاصيل الذبائح في سفر اللاويين، فكانوا يضعون أيديهم على الذبيحة إشارة إلى أنها تنوب عنهم، ويعترفون على رأسها بخطاياهم إشارة إلى أنها تحملها عنهم. وكان ملخص مفهوم الذبيحة هو أن كائنا بريئا بلا خطية يحمل خطيئة المذنب ويموت عوضا عنه، وهذا هو الفداء. ومضت أجيال وهكذا الفكر راسخ في أذهانهم، وهو الفادي الذي يموت عنهم حاملا لخطاياهم، وفهموا أنه لابد أن يكون إنسانا لأن حكم الموت الذي توارثناه صدر ضد إنسان. بقي أعداد العذراء الطاهرة أن يولد منها الفادي حسب نبوءة أشعياء، وكان ينبغي أن يولد الله منها دون أن يرتفع قلبها، وكان ضروريا أيضا إعداد ذلك الشيخ البار الذي يحفظ العذراء مريم ويرعاها ويعيش معها كبتول كان حبلها من الروح القدس. ثم كان لابد من إعداد الملاك الذي يهيئ الطريق قدام الفادي بدعوة الناس إلى التوبة وإعدادهم بالمعمودية، ولابد من إعداد الرسل الذين ينشرون الإيمان بالفادي، وكان لابد من إعداد الزمن الذي تتم فيه كل هذه الإعدادات معا، وهذا ما سماه الرسول ملء الزمان. ثم كان لابد من انتشار لغة عالمية تتم بها الكرازة في أرجاء الأرض كلها، وكانت اللغة اليونانية التي ترجمت إليها أسفار العهد القديم في الترجمة السبعينية. وهكذا جاء ملء الزمان الذي تجسد فيه السيد المسيح من العذراء مريم والروح القدس، وصلب عنا حاملا خطايانا ومات عنا وقام، ليكن عيد الميلاد فرحا للجميع وبركة وتجديدا لحياتهم. كونوا معافين في الرب محاللين من الروح القدس. إمضاء قداسة البابا شنودة الثالث. نحب برضو نقول لكم برقية التهنئة اللي جاية من سيادة الرئيس محمد حسني مبارك، واللي بينقلها لنا النهاردة سعادة السفير سامح شكري اللي عايزين كلنا نرحب به. هو أول مرة يجي الكنيسة، ودي أول فترة ليه في واشنطن، والحقيقة من ساعة ما جه وهو يعني احنا على اتصال وفي مشاعر المودة والمحبة. الحياة شخصية يعني في منتهى التواضع، وشخصية الحقيقة يعني نحب كلنا يعني نبقى فخورين بيها. طبعا مش ممكن ننسى ان سيادة السفير بعد ما جه امريكا اول مجيء لي يعني بعدها بثلاث ايام راح زار قداسة البابا في كليفلاند كلينيك، بالرغم طبعا من مشاغله واستلامه مسؤولية السفارة وكده. فاحنا بنرحب بيه وبنتمنى له التوفيق في يعني المهمة الجديدة، وإن شاء الله تبقى فترة كويسة. بنرحب برضو بمسيس شكري اللي جاي معاه أول مرة برضو تحضر وتشرفنا هنا عشان تهنئكم بالعيد. رسالة سعادة السفير الأخ العزيز القمص بشوي أندراوس، تحية طيبة. وبعد أتشرف بالإفادة بأنني قد كلفت من رئاسة الجمهورية أن أنقل لكم وللإخوة والأخوات الأقباط أبناء مصر في الولايات المتحدة الأمريكية ببرقية التهنئة الموجهة من السيد الرئيس محمد حسني مبارك بمناسبة عيد الميلاد المجيد، وفيما يلي نصها: الإخوة والأخوات أقباط مصر المغتربون بالخارج، يسعدني أن أبعث إليكم بأخلص التهاني بمناسبة الاحتفال بعيد الميلاد المجيد، متمنيا لكم ولعائلاتكم المزيد من النجاح والتوفيق، ولمصرنا الغالية دوام العزة والتقدم. إمضاء سعادة الرئيس محمد حسني مبارك. وبهذه المناسبة أود التعبير بالأصالة عن نفسي وبالإنابة عن أعضاء السفارة لكم وللإخوة الأقباط الكرام في المهجر عن أطيب التهاني بهذه المناسبة الجليلة، متمنيا لكم وللإخوة الأعزاء دوام التوفيق والرفعة والصحة والسعادة، وأن تبقوا دائما ذخرا وفخرا لوطنكم الأم. وكل عام وأنتم بخير. إمضاء سعادة السفير سامح شكري، سفير جمهورية مصر العربية لدى الولايات المتحدة. ونرحب تاني بسعادة السفير في زيارته لأول مرة. معانا طبعا يعني حبيبنا السيد المستشار أشرف سلامة القنصل، واللي هو بياخد باله من كل طبعا احتياجاتكم. وبعدين وإذا راخد باله منكم كويسة هو في حاجة كويسة طبعا أنا نبهت عليها الحد اللي فات، بس يمكن في بعضكم ما كانش موجود، إن في لجنة هتيجي من مصر دي الأول مرة هتعمل الرقم القومي، لأن دلوقتي البطاقات القديمة الورق دي خلاص ما بقتش شغالة في مصر. فاللي عنده البطاقات الورق القديمة طبعا ما بيروح زيارات مش بيلحق يعمل البطاقات الجديدة اللي هي بتبقى بالكمبيوتر وبصورة وحاجات زي كده. فلازم اللي يطلع البطاقة الجديدة يطلع الأول الرقم القومي وبعدين يطلع البطاقة الشخصية الجديدة. فدي أول مرة، ومش عارفين طبعا اللجنة اللي بعدها تيجي كمان قد إيه، فدي فرصة. ويعني سيادة المستشار أشرف سلامة هيبقى يعني مشرف على الموضوع ده. أنا قلت لكم إن هم اللجنة هتبقى موجودة يوم 8، أوكي؟ في حصل تغيير شوية في المواعيد، ففي تأخير لغاية يوم 23، وهنكتب لكم في الويب سايت وهنعلن بالضبط الميعاد إمتى، لأن لسه المواعيد مش مظبطة. ولكن دي فرصة كويسة، يعني أنا نفسي البطاقة القديمة اللي عندي عمري ما عرفت أغيرها، فدي للواحد ما بيروح مصر ما فيش وقت طبعا يخلص الحاجات دي، فدي فرصة حلوة علشان كلكم تبقوا تعملوا الموضوع ده. فاحنا بنرحب بالسيد المستشار أشرف سلامة، أيضا السيد المستشار محمد مصطفى عزب المستشار بالسفارة، ونرحب بيه. أول مرة يشرفنا، وبرضو هيشرف على اللجنة اللي جاية. وبرضو السيد محمد الشناوي ممثل جمعية إيكا اللي دايما بيجي وبيحبنا. بنرحب بقناة المصرية والطاقم بتاعها اللي جي بيصور برضو القداس، وبنشكرهم. أنا كل سنة برضو بديكوا تحية القنصل السابق السيد المستشار محمود زايد، الحقيقة من ساعة ما مشي هو برضو لسه على اتصال بينا، ولازم بيتصل بيعيد عليا وعليكم يعني. فكل سنة وانتم طيبين.
Until in land them to bear. Bethlehem, and they worshiped the King of Ages.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Merry Christmas. Wow, there is a lot of people here tonight. Did you find parking? I couldn't find parking. Where did you park? That's good. I appreciate everyone who is cooperating with the parking. Actually, because of the bad weather, we didn't expect a lot of people to come, but you guys are very, very, very good, very responsible. That's good. That's why we are preparing for you a gift, right? So wait, we'll see what is this gift. The angel, when he appeared to the shepherds, he told them about something, good thing, a surprise. And for you, you must have something, a reward. You came in the bad weather, you're here in such a difficult night, you had difficult time parking, sitting and, you know, being crunched. So you must have a gift today. So what's God's gift for you this Christmas? The angel, when he appeared to the shepherds, he told them, "I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. There is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Great joy, rejoicing, the angels singing as we do here tonight. A lot of singing, a lot of good hymns. The deacons are behaving very well tonight, so it's very, very, very good. We're very proud of them. Very nice. But what's the occasion? What's the occasion? The angel came and told them, great joy, rejoice. And then they went. What did they see? They saw a baby. How is this good news? Where is the Savior? This is just a little baby. What is he going to do to me? What? How is he going to save? Even if he's going to save, that's 30 years later. Most of these people won't be there anymore. So what is the good news? What is the gift? What is the surprise? What's happening? I feel it's the same for us tonight. We say Merry Christmas, feast, holiday, food, everything good, but the economy is bad. And we don't know if it's going to get any better anytime soon. And no one knows what's the job situation. And the houses are losing value. And war is in the Middle East. Great way to start off the year. Right? So what are we celebrating today? What is God's gift for us today? Things are the same. He said great joy. They went, they saw a baby. And everything is the same. Today is the same. Tomorrow same thing. Nothing is different. How is this going to make a difference in my life? I was thinking exactly the same thing. I was thinking this morning when I wake up in the morning and I know that I have to prepare a word for tonight. And I thought maybe the quiet time will give me any hint about what God wants to deliver. And the beginning of the quiet time today, if you did your quiet time today, started with rejoice in the Lord. I said, again, he's asking me to rejoice. I'm trying to find anything to rejoice about. You know, I'm trying to go to the people tonight and tell them good news. What is the good news that I'm going to tell them? What is the gift that God is bringing to all of us? Where is this great joy? Am I missing anything? Shouldn't things be easier on believers? Why things are just hard for us as anyone else in the world? How come it goes the same for us as the non-believers? Where is Christ? Where is His gift? What are the good news that He's giving to us? Of course, the person who said that, who said that? Rejoice in the Lord. Who said it? Saint Paul. Okay? And Saint Paul didn't have it any easier than any one of us. Okay? The worst part of his life, that he was single. He wasn't married. That wasn't the worst part, but he was alone. He was going around the world by himself, sailing, shipwrecking, problems, torture, persecution, imprisonment, problems, accusations, everything can go wrong, went wrong with him. And yet, when he was in jail, he wrote the happiest epistle ever to the Philippians, and he said, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. He repeated that many times in the epistle of Ephesians, of Philippians. What are we missing? What did he have different than all of us? Maybe if we discover the secret of St. Paul's life, maybe we find the gift that God wants to give us tonight. The secret behind St. Paul's life, it was in his favorite word. What's the favorite word for St. Paul? Let's wake you up. What's his favorite word that he repeated over and over again, and he repeated it more than anyone else? What is the word? Huh? Yeah? Huh? Suffering? No. What is the word? What is the G word? Grace. You don't know that about St. Paul? He repeated the word grace more than anyone else. And his gift and his strength, everything he had, he said, I am what I am by the grace of God. I can't do anything without the grace of God. He kept saying the grace of God. What is the grace of God? What is the definition of the grace of God? The grace is the gift of God. What is this grace? What is this gift? We want to find this out tonight. When we speak the word, when we say the word grace, some people think it's the power of God in my life. That God helps me. Sure. That God takes care of me. That God carries me. That God forgives me freely. That God loves me when I'm still a sinner. That's grace. Sure. All of this is right. That Emmanuel is with us. That's grace. Very good. But when it comes to real life, when it comes to day-to-day business and day-to-day life, I try to search for God's strength and I don't find it. I try to find energy, wisdom, strength, patience, and I don't find. And I pray, God, please give me your grace. And then there's nothing is happening. So what is that grace? How come St. Paul had it? He had it all. He had it full. He had it complete. His life was very much, much tougher than all of us. And yet he was rejoicing. And he found that grace. Actually, if you want to look for the secret of that grace, you continue the passage for today's quiet time. If you look down at today's quiet time, what he said later on, in Philippians 3, he said, but what things were gained to me, things that were precious to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. Where is the grace here? What's his grace? What's his gift? What is the secret here? What is the gift of St. Paul? If you look clearly here, the gift is Christ himself. Not Christ's power. He didn't have any power. He was powerless. And not the safety, he wasn't safe. Not the strength, because he was very weak, But he was very, very, very strong from inside. The strength of St. Paul, it wasn't the power of God. And it wasn't the blessing of God. But it was God himself. Jesus himself was his gift. He said, even if I lose all things, I'm happy because I have the best gift, which is him. And I lose all things and I count them rubbish because of the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, because I have him. I don't care about anything else. Does that mean that he had it easy? No. It was difficult. It was tough. He used to work with his own hands and preach at the same time. He didn't have a salary. He didn't have a good job. He didn't have safety. He didn't have house. But he had Christ. And Christ was the gift of his life. He wasn't a gift. Christ was not a power in his life. But he was the power, the gift, the love of his life. I feel our problem and my problem is I always come to God wanting something. If he just give me the strength, wow, he will be an awesome God. Yeah, if he can give me 48 hours in a day so I can finish what I have to finish, wow, that's the God of blessing. God is really blessing me. If God gives me success in what I do, then God is awesome. He's amazing because he's giving me that success. And when we come here, always expecting something. Tell you the truth, every single feast I come here and I say, Lord, what are you going to give me today? Even spiritual things. Give me to overcome the sin. Give me to be more spiritual. Give me to be stronger in my prayer life. How about that gift of our life, which is Christ himself? He is born for us. In us, he is the gift of the Father to us. And he's more precious than anything else. Do we know that? And do we see him that way? That's why we keep going up and down. Up and down. Things are good, we're up. Things are bad, we're down. Even in a spiritual sense. Still going up and down. Why? Because we're waiting for gifts, not the gift of our life. When we discover the gift, we are not in need of anything else. Jesus said that about Martha and Mary. You remember Martha who was serving and Mary who sat at his feet to listen to him? And he said that to Martha. But one thing is needed. One thing. It's that gift. It's one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her. I know that some of you are saying now, you're not being practical. How is this going to happen? What do you mean by Christ is the gift of my life? I don't understand that. How this is going to help me day to day, on a day to day basis? How can this sustain me strong even when things are bad? And when things are down? How this could sustain me? Tell you the truth, and I'm being very, very, very honest with you. I serve God. I serve people. I come, pray liturgies, do services, prepare sermons, give sermons. These are all good, and I enjoy them. But every now and then, I complain. And I say, things could be better. It's not a good life. I'm very honest. I'm confessing now. I complain, even though I'm serving God. Even though he gives me strength. But sometimes he doesn't. And sometimes it's tough. Sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes there is big load. But honestly, if you ask me, when is the best time of your life? When you say, if you take away everything from me, I'm still going to be happy. I'm still going to rejoice in the Lord. I won't care. I won't complain. It's only in one condition, in one situation, and it happens every now and then, is when I discover that He is my gift. He is the gift of my life. For example, after I finish an all-night prayer, like the last all-night prayer, tell you the truth, I went out and I said, God, I don't want anything of this world. I just want You. I don't care about rest. And I don't care about schedules. And I don't care if I sleep or I don't. I don't care if I have health or not. I don't care if You take away everything from me or not. I really don't care. Because I have the best thing in the world. I discover the treasure. I discover the gift that is You. I want You and nothing else. Every now and then when I spend the time in the retreat, when I spend the good quality time with God, I go out and I say, I don't want anything. I just want Him. Then I discover the gift. And this is the best time of my life. That's when the anxiety is being taken away. When the stress is gone. When the worrying is not anymore. Not when we receive His power, but when we receive Him. When we find Him as the gift. He came to us tonight to be the gift of our life. He came to dwell in us. Jesus didn't come to give us power. He could have given power while He was up there. He didn't come to give us gift. He could have showered us with gifts when He's up there. But He came in order to be the gift for us, to dwell in us, that we all may tell Him, this is it. If I have You, I have everything. And if I don't have You, I have nothing. Question here is, how can Jesus be the gift of my life? Tell you the truth? It's up to you. That's when you put a price tag on Him. Very high price tag. And when you say that He is the most important person in my life, He is the most valuable, He is the most important relationship that I want to have, that I want to care about. The more you put value to this gift, the more you discover the gift, and the more you enjoy that gift. But the less you value this gift, the less you find it. How much do we value Him? When we say the word grace, the connotation always of the word grace is, I do nothing, God does everything, He blesses me, He forgives me, He takes care of me, and I have nothing to do, and I don't deserve anything. It's all God's gift to me. That's true in some situations. But at the same time, it's not true in so many other situations. I can only receive that grace, that gift, when I value this gift. When I decide that He is the gift, I will receive it. When I work hard for it. Does that mean I have to work hard for God's grace? Yes and no. You want to receive the gift? Just show appreciation for this gift. Show the value of this gift. God is not asking us to pay the price of our sins. God is not asking us to shed our blood for forgiveness, but just value Him and what He did for us. That He is number one. He's the one thing. He is the gift. And when you work hard for that, you will discover the gift. You will receive it. And when you receive it, you will have power to work very hard and it goes in a circle like this. But if you relax and wait for things to happen, and to happen quickly, is never going to happen. If you wait until something miraculous is going to happen, and God is going to shine forth upon you out of nowhere, it's not going to happen. Unless you put the price tag on that. Let me give you a very quick lesson, because I'm late now. Give you a very quick lesson on business. Have you seen that before? Anyone knows what that is? Not a lot of business people here. Okay. They taught me this in a church. Why? Because I always say, it's called the project triangle. Okay, this is something very well known. That's not a church thing, it's a business thing. So they taught me, when you need something, okay, you can say, I need the best thing, and I need a very cheap price, and I need to try it now. No, that's impossible, okay? You have to be, and actually they taught me here that in the church. They said, look at this triangle, you can only choose two of the three. You can't have the three, okay? You can't have it very good quality and very cheap price and you get it very fast. No, that's not going to happen. Okay? So you got to choose. If you need something good, then you have to choose. Either you get it really fast but it's going to be expensive, or you get it very cheap but it's going to take time. Going to take an order and you wait and the internet and the delivery, but what you're asking is impossible. I learned that the hard way, okay? I tried to prove that triangle wrong, but I failed. And this triangle is right. You can't have the three, something very good quality, very cheap price, and very fast. You can't get that. Same thing here. Can't have the best gift in the world, very, very cheap price, and you take it in no time. That doesn't work. That doesn't work. It's going to take some time. And it might be costly. But you can't have the best gift and pay such very cheap price for it. That's not Christ. And that's not what He deserves from us. What God did for us today, that He was born to live in me, to live very, very, very close, to be my Lord, to be my friend, to be my gift, to be my bridegroom, that's the best thing ever. What do I look for more? But if I just realize how precious that is. When you ask Abraham, how precious is God for you? He said, God is more precious than anything. That more precious than my only beloved son. He's more precious than my family. He's more precious than my land. Did Abraham have grace? Yes. Did he discover what grace is? Yes. Did he become the father? Yes. Because he didn't get it cheap. Every single day we're being asked this question. How much is Christ for you? Is He more valuable than your rest? Is He more valuable than your work? Is He more valuable than your time? That's a question we're being asked. You want to receive grace? You want to receive the gift, the best gift ever? Prove that. Tell Him, yes, Lord. Even if things go wrong, I will hold on to You. I will believe in You. I want You. Take everything away, but never leave me. I want Your presence. I'm not asking for Your peace. You want to have wars around me? I don't care. Even if I walk through the shadow of the valley of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because You are with me. I just want to make sure that You are my gift. You are mine. And I don't care about anything else. That's the gift we have tonight. When you put the right price tag, then you will discover something really amazing. What I'm saying to you means nothing, because this is my price tag. You have a price tag for Him. Every one of us has a price tag for Christ. But when you put the right price tag, you will get the gift. Only when you put the right price tag, you will receive the gift. I can't promise you that this coming year is going to be very easy. I can't promise you that you won't have any problems. But I can promise you that you can have anything with no problem. Jesus said that. He said, in the world, you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Lord, you overcame the world, not me. But I am in you. If I'm yours, if I am your gift, then you overcame the world too. We can have this year as problem free. We can have this year as the best year. Not when we assure ourselves that everything is going to be okay. Everything is going to be okay if He is mine, if He is my life, if He is my gift. More than anything, and more than any comfort, more than anything I'm looking for. Our theme this year is, if you have 1 year to live, what would you do? That's our theme. We introduced that in the new year. If this is my last year, I would love Christ to be my everything, to be my life, to be my friend, to be occupying my mind and my heart and my thoughts and my everything. So when I go there, I'm looking forward to meet Him, and He's looking forward to see me. But otherwise, maybe I'm not ready really to meet Him. I want to see Him, enjoy Him. It's our choice. It's our price tag. Let's choose Him to be our gift. Let's put the right price tag. That's in everyday's decisions. You put a price tag for Him. Let's do it right. Let's start by tonight telling Him, Lord, today's Christmas. Maybe I'm thinking about so many things going on. But I, at least for the next hour, which is this hour of the liturgy, I will think about nothing but you. And I will ask for nothing but you. And I will not look for anything else but you, that I may discover you, that I may know Him, as St. Paul said. May you have a blessed year and wonderful time, and may the Lord Jesus Christ really fill our hearts and our minds and bring us more and more into our salvation. Glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.